When Marlo Mack's child was in preschool, he loved princess dresses and fairy figurines and sparkly shoes. The other moms assured Mack the kid would grow out of it, but she and the boy's father weren't so sure. They thought maybe their little one would grow up to be gay, and actually they were fine with that. What they were not prepared for was their child's insistence that although she'd been born with so-called boy parts, she was actually a girl. And little M was so sure of this that one day she tearfully asked for a do-over. Was there any way she could go back into her mother's belly and be born again, this time as a person everyone understood was a girl? From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd. Mack had never heard of a child like hers before, and she had all the usual worries. Had she done something wrong as a parent? What if this was just a phase? What would other people think? But eventually she realized she couldn't keep breaking her child's heart by saying no to her identity. So she decided to trust that her daughter was indeed a girl. And she realized she'd need to go beyond just understanding and accepting this herself. She would have to try and make the world a more accepting place as well. Writer Marlo Mack is producer of the podcast How to Be a Girl and author of the new memoir, How to Be a Girl, a mother's memoir of raising her transgender daughter. Marlo, welcome to Think.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you handle it when the child you thought of as your son started to prefer toys and clothes and books most people associated with girls?
Well, as you said in the intro, you know, at first I just assumed I had an unconventional boy, perhaps a gay son. And that was a future that I envisioned as just being fine. It obviously didn't turn out that way. She was very insistent from the beginning, and I had to really rearrange all my ideas about what it was going to mean to parent this child.
Here's a conversation you had with her when she was four.
What are your favorite things to play with?
My princess things.
Your princess things? Why do you like princesses so much?
I just kind of do.
Do you think it's okay for boys to like princesses?
But I'm a girl.
Do you remember the first time your daughter said, I'm a girl, when you still thought of her as your son?
You know, I don't remember the first time. I think for my daughter, it started so early. You know, she was, at the time I would have said he, but now I can't say he because that just feels all wrong. But at the time I would have said he. My child was, you know, as soon as she could crawl, crawling toward the pink things and dragging me through the clothing aisles out of the boys section to the girls section and pointing at the pretty, pretty dresses. And, you know, it was just this slow burn of trying to get this message through to me every day in these various ways. I don't remember the first time she said, I'm a girl, but I will never forget that time when she begged me to put her back in my tummy. That was the moment that rocked my whole world when I knew, you know, wow, if a three-year-old is saying, put me back and let me come out again as this person I really am, mom, because the parts I have that you think make me a boy are wrong. They don't match me. That moment, there was just no going back from that. I think as a parent, you know, when your child is saying something fundamental about themselves, if we're listening, I think we can hear the difference between a casual remark or a phrase or something playful and something really urgent.
You heard like existential anguish in her voice as young as she was.
Yeah, I saw just despair. I saw despair. This isn't who I am, you know. Fix this, mommy, fix this. And I promised her I would. I said, okay, you can be a girl. I mean, I said this was like 10 years ago, and there was no conversation in the mainstream media about transgender adults, even really. Certainly nothing about children, almost nothing, nothing I could find, nothing I'd ever encountered. And so at that moment to say, okay, my darling, my sweetheart, yes, you can be a girl, was an absolute leap of faith It was saying, I might as well have said, you can be a dinosaur, you know, you can be a unicorn. But it wasn't like that. You know, the doubters and the naysayers would say, oh, yeah, right. My kid wanted to be a puppy, you know, but no one grows up to be a puppy. You know, I don't know any adults who used to be puppies, but I do know a lot of transgender adults who knew, who tell me, many of them who knew from their earliest moments, from 3 years old. They say they've heard my podcast or read my book, and they say, oh my God, I knew, but I didn't have the language for it. And, or I told my mother, and she said, well, that's, you know, don't say that again.
Were you ever tempted to say, don't say that again?
Oh, you know, I'd like to say I wasn't, but I even after I made that promise, you know, it wasn't like we switched and the next day she was a girl. That was absolutely not how it went. I tried everything I could come up with to make it kind of go away. I thought, well, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. I'd lie in bed at night and think, you know, my brain just hurting to come up, you know, aching to come up with some solution. Like, there's got to be a way to find a path to boyhood and manhood for my child, because I didn't see how the alternative was workable, or, you know, in any way that would produce a happy, healthy life. I'd never encountered a trans, I'd never met, as far as I knew, a transgender person. So I was throwing my best efforts at it. And I think it did some harm. I had to apologize a lot to my child later. But I said to my child, you can be any kind of boy you want to be. You know, the pinkest, prettiest, gayest princess in all the land. And my child, who was, you know, being called a boy at the time, looked like a girl, had all the dresses, and, you know, I'd stopped fighting that, and my child was wearing those clothes to school, and being, and people were assuming that my child was a girl out in public, and I would correct them, and that was one of the things that really shifted for me, was when I would correct, was seeing my child's face when I would correct people. You know, would be standing in the grocery store line, checkout line, and someone would say, oh, she's so pretty. And I would say, well, actually, he, you know, thinking I was being sort of a good gender bending feminist, you know, saying, hey, boys can be anything, boys can be pink. But it didn't empower my child. It hurt my child. And she would just, her face would fall and she'd look away from me. She stopped correcting me. I think she was sort of giving up on her mother, frankly. And that was heartbreaking. I also encountered the statistics on transgender children and young people who are not supported by their families. And the statistics were grim. They're nothing you would want to envision for your child's future in terms of, you know, sky high levels of self-harm and drug abuse and depression, anxiety, you know, and these things I have witnessed time and time again. These things tend to clear up when children are seen and heard and supported in who they tell us they are.
You did have a worry, like, what if you went along with this and supported your daughter? And at some point, she realized her gender identity did match her biological body, which is to say, what most people would consider a boy's body. How often does that actually happen with trans kids?
Unfortunately, we don't really have hard data. We don't have peer-reviewed studies published in peer-reviewed journals. We do have a ton of anecdotal data. As I mentioned earlier, if you talk to anyone who's working with these kids, they will tell you that children like mine almost never change their mind. And we're talking about children who have a real deep sense of their own identity. I think it's important to say that there is a certain amount of experimenting that goes on with teenagers, and that's normal. And it is a little trendy currently to sort of be gender nonconforming or gender bendy, girls wearing bow ties, boys wearing makeup. I know that that's something my teenage nephew has experimented with. But that's a very different thing from a child, a young person, a teenager experiencing real distress over their gender. And that's what we're talking about here, is kids who are really needing to be seen. And for if it's a phase, you know, it will pass. If it's a phase, your child's not going to be engaging in dangerous behaviors to try and address this situation, which is unfortunately what happens with too many kids who are not being listened to. The statistics are really scary. So I think we need to take kids really seriously when they tell us that we're not seeing who they are, and not worry too much about where this is headed. That would be my big piece of advice for people is don't freak out too much about, you know, what's the end result? Is my child gay? Is my child trans? You know, what does all this mean? All these new terms and pronouns are being thrown at me. I don't understand it. It can be overwhelming, and I have a lot of sympathy for parents who feel scared and kind of just want it to all go away and want to say, oh, that's just, you know, a teenager mouthing off or going through some silly phase trying to get attention. I would say let's take this really seriously and listen to our kids and walk with them on this path, because it will resolve in the way it needs to. If your child is trans, they will be trans. If your child's not trans, then it will go away. And you can look back and say, I was with my child on that journey. I walked with them rather than having to figure it out without me or in spite of me. That we did this together. That's what I would wish for every child and every parent.
One fascinating thing that happened once you fully accepted your daughter's identity, she was able to relax and just be fully herself, which is to say, not the world's girliest girl, right? She liked fairies and princesses, and she liked Legos and sword fights. And a friend with a transgender daughter said she actually thought that made a stronger case for these girls' identity as girls. A lot of cisgender girls go from being super girly to less girly as they get older.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that we kind of hold our transgender kids to some ridiculous old-fashioned standard. You know, if you're a transgender boy, then you better be, you know, really tough and kind of masculine. If you're a transgender girl, well, you better toe the line and wear dresses every day. And when my daughter was really, when she, after she first transitioned, we had a couple of years where she would not go out of the house without a dress on, without a skirt on. I think she was, you know, pretty worried that if she backslid at all, we'd put her back into the boy box. So she wasn't going to take any chances with that. But as with all of her peers, once she got into first grade, second grade, the sort of hyper, you know, Elsa, Disney princess kind of went out of fashion, and the girls wanted to wear pants, and they were way less into this uber girly thing, uber princess thing, and that kind of gave me pause. I was worried. I thought, well, maybe she's not a girl. And I asked her. I said, you know, I tried to sort of dance around it. I said, well, you know, sweetheart, if you do change your mind, you know, that's fine. You know, if you want to be a boy, your papa and I will love you just as much. Or if you're still a girl, that's great. Or if you're non-binary, you know, whoever you are, we love you. And she looked at me, and she just, you know, like I was just brainless, like where was this coming from? And she said, you know, mama, just because I like sword fighting doesn't mean I'm not a girl. You know, just because I like Xena Warrior Princess, note that it's Xena Warrior Princess that she loved, but she said, I you know I don't you get it, mom? You know, she really brought me up short on all my assumptions.
I mean, her story and the story of a lot of trans people does. I mean, it creates these questions about the, in some ways, arbitrary divisions between that which we think is masculine and that which we think is feminine in our culture. As you said, they do exist. They are meaningful, but like, how did we create these categories in the first place?
That's a really good question. I don't have a good answer for that one. You know, it's a dance between, I think, between the world we encounter and, you know, which we can change and challenge to a certain extent, but then just the truth that's in our own hearts, right? I mean, that sounds kind of mushy and not very scientific, but it does guide me as a parent. I don't know what gender is or why it exists, really, or why some people's gender matches what we think it should and some doesn't? Is it our brains? Is it what I ate while I was pregnant? You worry that you did something wrong. But at the end of the day, I just look at my daughter and I see this deliriously happy, well-adjusted kid, frankly. I hope I don't know how much I have to do with that. She seems to have raised herself in some ways, but she's okay. And that's one other thing I would say is that this is not some sad path through life. When transgender children are supported, they can have and do have wonderful childhoods, wonderful teenage years, wonderful lives. Unfortunately, a lot of kids are not supported, and my daughter is an outlier, because she's had been wrapped in the loving arms of, not just her family, but a broader community, which is huge. Her school community has stepped up, and made it known that she's included and safe there. And too many kids are not getting that. But it is possible if we all chip in to bring these kids along and include them in this game of life, they should be part of it.
A few years ago, she asked you to take down all the baby pictures of when everybody assumed she was a boy. What did that feel like for you?
I still, I have them tucked away in drawers or in behind things in my office. It's a little painful. Fortunately, that the birth announcement that we sent out, she happened to be wrapped in a pink blanket that we had been given by a neighbor, not really caring what color she was wrapped in when she was born. So I do have this one precious photo that's one of my favorite photos of her, which now feels sort of like a premonition or something. It is weird. It is strange. I never quite know if if my wistful longing, pang in my heart when I see these baby photos is just for a normal missing my baby, or am I sort of missing my baby boy? I don't know. I just am so happy that I have this happy child now that any sadness about losing, quote, losing my son is it doesn't seem very important.
It's funny because there are a million ways that our kids turn out to be different than we imagined they would. It's just the way that your child is different is not the same as the way my kids might be different than what I imagined.
That may be true, although I'm not sure. I mean, I mean, yes, this is not something that I expected, right? This is not something that most parents, especially a decade ago, were thinking was a possibility. But I think for all of us as parents, it is a challenging part of our job, and really vital that we acknowledge we're not in charge of who they become. And this is just sort of a big one. But I feel like I see it every day. I feel like my story is absolutely relatable to all my friends who don't have transgender kids. We're just it, when they hurt, we hurt. When they need something, we do our best to make it happen. And that's all I feel like I ever did. People say, "Oh, how did you do it? How did you support her?" And I just think, well, she was in pain and she needed this thing. And so I'm her mother. It's my job to do it. And that's sort of all I feel like I did. I don't see it as particularly heroic. It seems like what I see my friends doing as parents all the time.
So, Marlo, there's your love for your daughter and your family's love for her and your understanding of what she needed. And then there's the outside world. And you can make your home a really safe place for your daughter. You can't necessarily fix school. Talk a little bit about your anxieties as she started to be in a lot of spaces where you weren't right by her side or where people might not understand her.
Yeah, it's a big one, right? When they're little, you hold them close and you can kind of watch them all the time. Sending her off to kindergarten was really scary. And it's every new school year. We've had to change schools a few times, and so every new school is a big deal. I've seen it as my job, especially when she's been really young, to kind of go in and lay the groundwork for her. So I have gone out and spoken to the principal and the school counselor, and when she only had one teacher in elementary school, meeting with the teacher and just saying, look, this is my child, this is who she is. Here's what we're going to ask of you. And it's pretty simple, really. Just acknowledge who she is, use her name, use her correct pronouns. Of course she'll use the girls' bathroom because she's a girl. So it's gotten a little more complicated as she's gotten a little bit older. She's in middle school now. She's in 8th grade. She's almost 14. And so she's navigating a lot of things a little bit more independently. I have spoken with her current school principal and her homeroom teacher, but most people at school have no idea that she's transgender. Most of the kids at school just see her as another girl. And that's the choice that she's made. She doesn't want to be sort of the transgender girl walking down the hallway. She just wants to be another kid at school. She has opted to tell a few of her friends, and they've been mostly really great, supportive. We've only had one person not handle it so well, but by and large, she's just had a great experience. She really wants her good friends to know that she's transgender. I think she sees it as an important, if not central, part of who she is. So she always wants her good friends to know. I'm always a little scared when she tells someone new. When I can, I try to meet the parents. I try to talk with them. If she gives me permission to talk to the parents about it, then I always feel really relieved when I know the parents are going to support us. But we've been really lucky. We happen to live in a community that is on the more supportive end of LGBT issues, and not everybody has that experience. I know in terms of being out as transgender, it's a really, really tricky thing. For a lot of kids, it's just not safe. There's just an astronomical amount of bullying. By the other students, by the other parents, sometimes by the teachers. So it's not always safe to be out and proud. And my daughter is sort of walking a middle line of being a little bit out. And so far, that's worked okay. I know that if she were completely out, there would be people who would not, absolutely would not accept us. And so I am a little relieved that she's not widely known to be transgender. I think that's a lot to take on when you're only 13.
You are no longer married to M's father, and you hadn't for a long time. You both supported her identity, but you hadn't necessarily had a conversation about this. What happened when you did say, maybe we should talk about this thing?
Yeah, I mean, we had kind of a rocky time with our divorce, but we did come through it to the other side, and we both came through the other side with fully supporting our daughter and realizing that this was who she was. We sat down, and I actually interviewed him for my podcast and had a really moving conversation where he told me about his moment of coming to realize that he had a daughter, and when he finally embraced her. He told me that their relationship really transformed, that all the tension sort of drained out of it, and that she sort of blossomed before his eyes like a little flower. It was rather poetic, and we both shed some tears. Yeah, I feel very lucky to be co-parenting with a really supportive dad. Yeah.
Are there people in your life that you've had to, if not cut out, just stay away from because they don't accept your daughter?
There are some people. There are we have some neighbors that I have kind of steered clear of because well we're not out to most of the neighborhood. We live in kind of a neighborhood with a lot of mixed viewpoints, and so the people that I know probably wouldn't want to be around us if they knew. We haven't focused on those friendships. We have lost some friends. We've been kind of ghosted by some of my kids' friends when she was younger. People stopped replying to texts for playdates went away for with those families. And that was painful for me. My daughter was pretty oblivious because she was young enough that I was managing her social calendar, so I could just sort of stop talking about those people. But it is hard to lose people. Most people, I think, have lost some friends or family members over this, and it's heartbreaking.
Just tell me one story of someone you've heard from who is a listener to the podcast that makes you glad you're doing the podcast.
I think it's sort of a group of stories. I hear from pretty regularly from parents of children like mine and from young people, teenagers, young adults who are transgender, and also from people who are their parents, saying that hearing our story made a difference, that it made them. That they saw themselves or they saw their child, and it helped them see that there was a path forward. And I hope that's what sharing our story and other brave people who've shared their stories. I hope that's what people take away from it. That being transgender is not some newfangled fad. It's been transgender people have been part of the human family for as long as there have been people, and we're lucky now to be embracing that component of the human family. And I hope people will open up their hearts because it's just a lot more fun with my daughter around. She has a lot to bring to the party.
Marlo Mack is producer of the podcast How to Be a Girl and author of the book How to Be a Girl, a mother's memoir of raising her transgender daughter. Marlo, thanks very much for making time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can like our page on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is at KERA Think. You can get the podcast by searching for KERA Think wherever you get podcasts. Again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.